For CGLO News, I'm Julia Silva. Montreal's Olympic Park Sports Complex will reopen later this month after it closed down from a fire in March 2024. The complex is also known as the National Sports Institute, or INS. The fire that broke out at the base of the Olympic Stadium Tower resulted in smoke infiltrating the INS and its ventilation systems. This caused the spread of soot on the floors. Lengthy repairs and decontamination work over the past year has displaced hundreds of athletes who would come to the INS for daily training or medical services. Aquatic sports activities are set to resume on March 3rd, and the whole complex will reopen to the public on March 31st. A day shelter called Resilience Montreal says it is facing a lack of funding which could render it incapable of providing services for unhoused people in the future. Resilience Montreal works primarily with people from Indigenous communities who gather in and around Cabot Square. They reached out to the Minister of Social Services, Lionel Carmont, for additional government aid. According to the shelter's director, David Chapman, their current finances can only support operational costs for the next 3 weeks. They are asking the Quebec government for $350,000 to help sustain their services and to support their plans to move to a larger space in Atwater Avenue by December. On Wednesday, February 5th, U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order that bans transgender athletes from participating in women's sports. This coincided with the celebration of National Girls and Women in Sports Day. The order calls for an immediate nationwide enforcement. Any school that fails to remove trans athletes from female-designated sports will be cut off from federal funding. The order called Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports is only Trump's latest attack on trans rights. He previously mandated that official documents only showcase sex as male or female and ban gender-affirming care for transgender youth. The National Collegiate Athletics Association, or NCAA, said that the order would only affect a small number of athletes. However, advocacy groups continue to voice their frustrations about the future of trans people in sports. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Ready to do this?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tommy John Show here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. And that song is appropriate this Monday afternoon as the Philadelphia Eagles are once again, for the second time in franchise history, Super Bowl champions. The Philadelphia Eagles, just a remarkable season by them. And what a performance in the Super Bowl. They did not just beat the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, who were going for a three-peat. They absolutely annihilated them. Destroyed them. Use any word you want to describe a beatdown with is what the Philadelphia Eagles did last night. We're going to spend majority of the hour on this. We will talk a bit about the Four Nations, which kicks off in Montreal this week. A great tournament. We're just craving international hockey at this point. with the best on best, we are going to get that. Sidney Crosby cleared to play. He will be playing Wednesday for Team Canada. Just cannot wait for this tournament. Is it the Olympics? No. But we have not had best on best hockey international since 2016. And yes, there's no Russia, no Czech Republic. I understand that. But still, you get the U.S., you get Canada, Sweden, Finland, four dominant hockey countries with the best players in the world. Cannot wait for that. So at the end of the hour, we'll talk a bit about that. But we have to obviously spend the majority of the show on Super Bowl, Super Bowl 59. And going into the game, if you looked at the rosters, if you've watched the teams all year long, the main takeaways, which we have addressed on this show before, is the Eagles are better pretty much at every position, actually at every position, except for the two biggest ones, head coach and quarterback. Everything else. And you can argue coordinator Spags versus Vic Fangio. Kellen Moore is going to take the Saints job in a few days. Coordinators, let's say they're a pick'em. They're even. But everything besides outside of that, on the field, the Eagles had an enormous advantage. Enormous. And that's why I thought there was more paths to victory for the Eagles in that game. But we've been burnt as a football community too many times with the Chiefs in big games being outplayed, out-physicaled, yet Mahomes finds a way. Or something happens, a flag, something. We've been burnt too many times. The Chiefs are still a very good team. Are they as talented as the Eagles? No. They're a very good football team. Obviously, they won the last two Super Bowls before yesterday. But in these close games, it just feels like it always goes Kansas City's way. Whether it's a big play by Mahomes, Chris Jones gets a strip sack. We've seen it so many times. And meeting with my friends yesterday, we're like, oh, who do you like? It was always, I'm rooting for Philadelphia. They're the better team. But like, it's hard to, like, Kansas City just finds ways to win. I don't have an explanation for it. They just find ways to win. Well, yesterday, we found out, you know what? If you're so much better, then head coach and quarterback doesn't matter. Just absolutely dominant from the Philadelphia Eagles. And it wasn't just Jalen Hurts, who was fantastic yesterday. It wasn't just that offensive line, which was stellar. As great as Jalen Hurts was, he had all day to throw and the running lanes for him to run. If Kansas City's back end did a great job, Hurts had just endless yards to run and gaping holes to run through. It was crazy. And what really, really set this game apart were the trenches. Devontae Smith, great. A.J. Brown was great. Saquon Barkley, the Chiefs did a pretty good job of neutralizing him. But that defensive line for the Eagles, if they could give an MVP, I know they gave it to Jalen Hurts, but the MVP of the game was that front of the Philadelphia Eagles. They heartily blitzed. Did they even blitz once? I don't even think they did. They got pressure with four and sat back, played zone, prevented the big plays, and Kansas City were lost. And it's funny because that's exactly what Tampa Bay did in their Super Bowl win against the Chiefs. They rushed four. Remember, they had Ndamukong Suh and Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul. They had all those elite pass rushers. Yes, it was a banged-up Chiefs offensive line, but they got pressure on Mahomes with four, and they dropped back seven. You have a spy on the quarterback. Yesterday, that was Zach Bond. In the other Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, that was Lavonte David or Devin White. You have your spy. And then you got six people back in protection. And it was the perfect game plan. And we thought Kansas City would overcome the offensive line. They did it against Buffalo. They did it against Houston. But it was different in this football game. And let's be honest, too. I know no one's going to touch on this point, but I will. As bad as the Chiefs' offensive line was getting dominated, Mahomes was not good. Let's be honest. He got away with an almost pick on the first drive. He rolls out to his right, tries to force a ball on the sideline, and almost gets picked. The Cooper DeJean pick six, that was a terrible decision by Mahomes. No need to throw that football. And then the Zach Bond interception was dreadful. And yes, it had something to do with the pressure. He felt like he had to get the ball out fast, but there's no one there. Zach Bond standing right there. And he missed. I know people want to blame DeAndre Hopkins for that drop. That was a bit in front of him. The two Travis Kelce drops. Remember, they got the first down with Juju Smith-Schuster. That was their only first down of the half on the first play. They're moving it up, moving up, and then he misses Kelce. Misses Kelce later in the first half. To say this is not on Mahomes at all is crazy. Yes, the offensive line got dominated. Yes, the receiving corps wasn't getting great separation. But I have to hear you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Can you make one play? And if you didn't watch the game, you're going to look at the numbers. Oh, Mahomes threw for 250. Oh, he had three touchdowns. Listen. At halftime, he had two picks and what, 50 yards passing, if that? And then after three quarters, he was at 65, 68 yards passing. Then he hits Worthy late and hits all those late, too. Who cares? The Eagle. It was an absolute demolishing of the Kansas City Chiefs. It was 34-0 after the extra point from the Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts touchdown. I was in disbelief because I knew the Eagles were better as a roster and talent-wise, but their best player, their MVP this year, Saquon Barkley, was neutralized, and it did not matter. Did not matter. And credit Nick Sirianni. He didn't do anything dumb. He stayed out of the way. Nothing stupid. But real credit has to go to Howie Roseman in that front office. Last year down the stretch, think about this. Last year, a year ago, remember the Eagles got off to that great start, 10-1. Unstoppable. We are going back to the Super Bowl. 10-1. They absolutely fell apart down the stretch, get blown out in Tampa Bay in the wildcard round to Baker Mayfield. And that secondary and that defense was getting torched. And what does Howie Roseman do in the offseason? He finds Zach Bond, who wasn't a highly touted prospect, wasn't just bouncing around the league a bit. He's an all-pro this year, signed him at linebacker. He's done amazing things. In the draft, they get Quinion Mitchell from Toledo. And the one wild card in the draft, but we all knew he could play, was Cooper DeJean. And the Packers wanted to take him, and they ended up not doing it. They went in another direction. Other teams liked Cooper DeJean, but he fell to the Eagles in the second round. There's a high first round grade, mid first round grade on Cooper DeJean. Falls all the way into the 30s. And guess who's there to pick him up? Howie Roseman and the Eagles. Here's another one. Jalen Carter. He was the number one prospect in his draft class. Number one. Numero uno. Yes, he had off-field issues. He falls a bit in the draft. Guess who's there waiting for him? Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles. They draft superbly. And then when they don't use a draft pick, they make a smart trade. They traded for A.J. Brown. They traded up to get Devontae Smith in the draft. Their drafts and their offseason moves recently have been stellar. Mekhi Becton, first round pick from the Jets, was going to be an all-world tackle. He's not working at tackle. The Jets let him go. The Eagles are like, hey, well, we're moving Juergens to center, and Dickerson might have to play a bit of center. Why don't we just put Mekhi Becton at guard? That worked pretty darn well. There is first round talent all over the place. A.J. Brown, stud. Devontae Smith was a first round pick. Jalen Carter, first round pick. Quinion Mitchell, first round pick. Everywhere you look, it's just talent all over the place. Remarkable. And the cherry on top, Saquon Barkley in free agency. And a lot of people beat up on the New York Giants, and especially today, even though Saquon wasn't sensational, all the Chiefs' emphasis was on Saquon Barkley. But he had one of the great, if not the greatest, running back season of all time. But he went to a fantastic spot. And I'm not blaming the Giants. They weren't in a position to win. It's like having a great closer on a terrible baseball team. There's really no point having an all-world running back with a brutal roster. Saquon would have won the Giants, two more games this year? They weren't going to give him the money the Eagles are going to give him. There was no point. Now, what stings is that he went to the number one rival right down the road. That stings. But let's be honest. The Eagles have the best roster. It's not even close. Not even close. And yes, I'm going to give Jalen Hurts today. He played far better than I thought he would, but he's a big game player. Even in college, he played great when he came off the bench when Tua got hurt in the SEC championship. Was great for Oklahoma. Even his early years in Alabama, he played pretty darn well in big spots. The limelight doesn't faze him. He went to Alabama and Oklahoma. He is used to the big lights. Even in the Super Bowl 2 years ago that they lost, he was sensational. Yes, he did have that fumble, but outside of that, he was awesome. His best game of the year before last night was the NFC Championship game. Looked composed, made the right decisions, used his legs effectively. So is he the sexiest of options at quarterback? Is he Josh Allen? Is he Joe Burrow? No. But he fits to a T what the Eagles want to do. You have Saquon Barkley in the backfield. Now you got two threats running with him and Hurts. You want to throw good deep balls because he does throw a very nice deep ball. We got the receivers to go get it. And that offensive line is sensational. They were showing the graphic in the game yesterday. What's the average height? 6'6 on that offensive line? 6'6. Mekhi Becton's a monster. Jordan Mailata might be the biggest human being I've ever seen step on a football field. And I know Kelsey's not there. And one of the great centers of all time. But I tried to tell people, he's a center. Howie Roseman can find another center. It's not a left tackle. It's not Lane Johnson we're talking about. It's not Mailata. It's the center. As great as a center he was. They put Cam Jurgens there. They were fine. And defensively, what a job he did, Howie Roseman. They have the worst secondary in the league. Let's put two rookies in there. Get Darius Slay moving. And away we go. And Vic Fangio, what a job he did. He's been as bad as he was in Denver as a head coach. He was fantastic in Chicago as a defensive coordinator. And I don't know why Miami let him go. Their defense wasn't that bad last year. They just didn't have the personnel. Comes to Philadelphia and has totally revamped the way they play defense. I cannot believe this is the same team from a year ago, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They could not stop a nosebleed at the end of last year. And now they made Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes yesterday look like they've never been in a big game before. All the experience, Mahomes, Reid, they have more experience than the Eagles. That went out the window. Out the window yesterday. And I got to give Nick Sirianni credit and everyone in the Eagles organization credit. They deserved it. And I was skeptical too. Very skeptical. Early in the year, okay, the Saquon Barkley's great, but I don't know if I trust Hurts. In the big spot, that's what I was saying. He has proved me wrong. And I think he's proved a lot of people wrong. It's not just me. There's people out there like, Jalen Hurts, I know he played well in the Super Bowl, but down the stretch last year, he was bad. He doesn't have the arm like Joe Burrow, doesn't have the size like Josh Allen, doesn't have the speedness of Lamar Jackson, it's irrelevant. He's a big game player. Let's just be honest. If I, just on the top of my head, the three best games I remember him playing in his career was the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship game last week, or 2 weeks ago, and last night. The Super Bowl they lost 2 weeks ago against the Commanders, and last night. If you ask me, the three best games I've seen Jalen Hurts play, and I've watched every NFL game. I remember when he came off the bench for Carson Wentz, and they won four games that last year with Doug Peterson. I saw him his first year with Sirianni. I've watched every, not every snap, but the majority of every single game Jalen Hurts has played in his NFL career, and a whole boatload of his college games. Is he my favorite quarterback to watch? No. Is he the best quarterback in the league? No. But in the biggest games, he plays his best. That's really all you can ask for. Eli Manning was the same way. Eli, he was a good quarterback. But when Eli Manning was in the postseason, his game elevated. Even the boat trip Giants game, Eli played great. Odell couldn't catch a ball. The offensive line was terrible. Eli played well. The two great Super Bowl runs, they're like a wild card team. I don't know if Eli's the guy, and he just elevated his play in the postseason. Jalen Hurts, he is fortunate to be on that team, no question about it. They do not have a weakness. Number one offensive line, number one defense, best running back in the sport, two elite wide receivers, Dallas Goedert's an elite tight end. There is literally not a weakness. Not one. But he goes out there in the big games and elevates his play. And that's all you really can ask for. I need to see what happens in free agency and the draft, see what other teams do. I assume they're going to have Kansas City as the favorites for next year's Super Bowl. But they are miles off with the Eagles as a roster. Yes, McDuffie's a good player. Karlaftis is a good player. Chris Jones is going to the Hall of Fame, but he's getting older. They need to fix the perimeters of their offensive line. They just have to. The tackles need to be better for Kansas City. You still have Mahomes. Andy Reid said he's coming back. Spags is going to come back. The Chiefs are going to be back in the divisional round at least next year. Like, that's going to happen. The question is, what moves are they going to make? Are they going to try and get another receiver? I know Rashee Rice is going to come back. That was a big loss. Xavier Worthy looks like he's going to be a good player. I think they need a true number one running back. That's just me. Pacheco's nice. Kareem Hunt's nice. But it's a very good running back class. Maybe Hampton from North Carolina is a good runner. Cam Scataboo, Arizona State. They tried. Remember, they tried to get Allaire all those years ago in the first round in 2020. He still was on two Super Bowl teams, but he didn't blossom into the running back they were hoping for. But this is just a dominant performance. Credit Howie Roseman. Credit the Eagles. What a roster. What a performance. And they are definitely the favorites for next year, in my opinion. I can't look past Detroit either. Detroit, injury-wise, was just depleted. But they lose both their coordinators. I know Kellen Moore is going to New Orleans, but still. You lose Ben Johnson. You lose Aaron Glenn. Let's see how the new replacements do. But right now, if you ask me the two best teams when healthy in the league are Philadelphia and Detroit. And we haven't gotten that game recently, actually at all. I want next year a healthy Detroit and a healthy Philadelphia in the postseason. That's what I want. But credit the Eagles. They peaked at the right time. The right time. They squeak by against the Packers. They get by against the Rams. But these last 2 weeks, man, they were dominant against Washington. And as dominant as they were probably even more dominant last night. 40-22 is not the real score. It was 34-0, 40-6. Like, it was getting out of hand. They forced three turnovers, the two picks, and the Mahomes fumble. They were just everywhere last night. Everywhere. And credit Philadelphia. I know their fans are getting a lot of people's nerves. You just have to tip your cap. That was sensational. Absolutely sensational. So credit Philadelphia. They are once again Super Bowl champions. We have to get into a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about if this performance last night hurts Mahomes' GOAT debate and who do we like for next year's postseason. We're going to do a way too early teams. I like making the postseason. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after this, quick words from our sponsors. Do not go away.
Lay production Nuit Afrique, in collaboration with TD Bank Group, presents 5 exclusive concert events from February 2nd to the 28th, highlighting roots and rhythms celebrating Black History Month. Don't miss the tribute to Tamani Djabate and the closing concert of Samba Touré, the legendary guitarist of Ali Farka Touré. Reserve your tickets now and discover the complete program at festivalnuitafrique.com.
Chop Spins and Remixes every Sunday from 12 to 1 with your host Noel on the Bones.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. So all week, the entire build-up to this Super Bowl, let's be honest, it wasn't a whole lot about the Eagles. It was like, oh, the Eagles are a great team. But all the headlines, all the attention, everything was focused on Kansas City and the three-peat. Let's be honest. It was, if Mahomes wins this, is he the GOAT because it's the first three-peat? Does this make Kelce the best tight end? Where does Andy Reid rank all time? They're talking with Pat Riley for the three-peat slogan. It was getting out of hand. And let's be honest. This is now the second time that the Chiefs have been annihilated in a Super Bowl in the Mahomes-Andy Reid era. Annihilated. This was maybe even worse than the Tampa Bay one. They got the garbage time, empty calorie touchdowns at the end to make it look a tad better. But let's be honest, it was 34-0. It was 40-6. It was a disaster for Kansas City. And we have to now reel this GOAT debate in. And I know I'm a Patriots fan. I'm a Brady lifer. I will defend Tom Brady till the end. But bias aside, can we put this conversation to rest for a little bit? I'm not saying Mahomes will never catch him. Andy Reid's still the coach. Spags is still there. He's still incredibly talented, the best quarterback in the world. But at least for a little bit. Now there's no three-peat. That's done. He's 3-2 in Super Bowls. And it's not the same as Brady helmet catch loss, throwing for 500 yards loss, Mario Manningham incredible catch on the sideline loss. It is like 3-4 score maulings. And let's be honest, he right now, you cannot say with a straight face he's the greatest quarterback of all time or it's a discussion anymore. It's not. It's not. If he won the three-peat, he'd be 4-1, 4 Super Bowls before he's 30. I would still pick Tom. Tom's still my guy. The head-to-head matchups in the postseason matter. But I'd be like, I understand if some people want to say it's the greatest start to a career, greatest opening stretch, whatever. And that's why I think he'll be the GOAT. Okay, I don't want to hear it anymore for a little bit. No more. None. For a little while. Can we have 2 to 3 years off of this? He can win next year. I don't care. That'd be 4-2 in Super Bowls. Tom Brady 7-3. Beat Mahomes in one. Not to mention beat him in an AFC championship game on the road with New England. Just for a little while, can we put this GOAT debate to rest? Just for a little bit. I'm asking. I don't think I'm crazy. Asking. You want to use the three-peat as an analogy? Oh, three-peat, he got the three-peat. Okay, fine. He didn't have it, and he was shockingly bad in the game. Shockingly. I don't want to, for a little bit, for just 2 to 3 years, can we stop with the GOAT talk? Because it's embarrassing. When I was growing up, rooting for Tom Brady, even when he got to 4 Super Bowls, I'd hear, oh, Joe's 4-0. 4-2 is not 4-0. 4-2 is not 4-0. And only when he had that Atlanta comeback is when people start to, all right, he has 5. He has more than Joe. Greatest comeback ever. I guess he's the GOAT. Then he got 6. Then he got 7. And then people finally conceded. I was hearing GOAT talk with Mahomes after 2 Super Bowls. So the media and everyone likes to pick and choose. Oh, he's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Oh, he's throwing vertical. He's vertical to the ground and he's throwing a football. It's unbelievable. Okay, he's great. He's talented. So is Jeff George. So is Ryan Leaf. They're talented. Aaron Rodgers, talented. Mahomes is great. I'm not saying that. But in the biggest games, let's be honest, you cannot even compare Brady and Mahomes. In Super Bowls, Mahomes has 6 picks already in 5 games. Brady had 7 picks in 10. Think about that. He pretty much has the same amount of picks already. It's one different. And he threw another one that was called back. I know it was a free play, but he had another pick that was called back. So think about this. Patrick Mahomes, 6 picks already. And he's played half the games as Tom Brady. He's an all-time great. One of the 5 best quarterbacks I've ever seen. But just for a little bit, can we pump the brakes? It's insulting. The Tom Brady. It really is. And I could tell Brady was loving it on the broadcast. But he was very slick with it. He's like, you got to credit the Eagles, man. They are making Mahomes' life just a nightmare. He was pumping the Eagles' tires, as he should. They were sensational. But he had a huge smile. He was grinning the entire second half. He loved every second of it. Because you can tell it ticks him off that people are trying to put this guy in his class already. Even in the one-on-one interview, they're going back and forth. He's like, you've won some big games. I've won some big games. Some against you. He's like, joking. Everyone's laughing. But that's a little jab at Mahomes saying, hey, just remember, I beat you twice in the big games. So clearly, Tom's a competitive guy, the most competitive guy of all time. Just a maniac when it comes to winning. He loved every second of that. And his stock, if your stock can go up from not playing, being retired, Tom Brady's stock went up last night. He was sitting in the booth. My first year done of my $375 million contract. And I get to watch the quarterback who's supposed to be the GOAT, supposed to pass me, have maybe the worst Super Bowl performance in a long while. It was that bad of a performance from Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. They got bullied, they got dismantled, and Patrick Mahomes looked pedestrian. He did. He looked like a below average quarterback last night. He did. That's a fact. Don't look at the 250 yards, the 3 touchdowns. No. At the half, at the end of the third quarter, he wasn't even at 100 yards, 2 picks. and he had a fumble as well. For the time being, no more. I will not entertain it. I will not discuss it. No more. He needs to get at least five. At least five for me to start having a conversation. Oh, Mahomes is the greatest thing of all time. Greatest quarterback I've ever seen. Oh, he's the greatest. No. Stop. Tom Brady is the GOAT for a little while longer. Just please pump the brakes, will you? It happens. You face a better team. No. Tom Brady in Super Bowls lost to the Giants by 3, lost to the Giants by 4, and then lost to what? The Eagles by a touchdown? And it was a Hail Mary at the end of the game to tie it? He has never been on the field for a blowout. Oh, wait, yes, he has. When he destroyed Kansas City. Actually, he has been in a Super Bowl blowout. He was the one doing the damage, though. Mahomes, what a start to career. 5 Super Bowls. He's been to 5 Super Bowls. Tom Brady went to 10. One with 2 different organizations. He went to Tampa Bay when he was 43 during a pandemic and led the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl against Kansas City. He was down 28-3. That was another, that's what I was going through the back of my head right now. I'm like, it's 27-0. Maybe Mahomes is trying to do the Brady comeback. No, he couldn't do it. 28-3 down, comes back. Down 10 in the fourth quarter against the greatest defense I've seen in my life. I was too young for the 2000 Ravens. Obviously wasn't born for the 85 Bears. The best defense I've ever seen in my life was the Legion of Boom. They won a Super Bowl and made Peyton Manning look awful. The next year, going for a back-to-back titles, and Tom Brady, down 10, led 2 of the great drives of his career to win the football game. And yes, Malcolm Butler made the play, but they were out of that game, and Tom Brady dragged them back into it with 2 remarkable drives. Everyone, Brady was lifted to Super Bowls early in his career. How about when Belichick's defense gave up 29 to Jake Delhomme? Jake Delhomme, whatever his name was, in Carolina. Tom Brady scored 32 as a system quarterback. 32 points. The Andy Reid and the Eagles. They are. Watch out for Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens, Brian Dawkins. All right. Tom Brady throwing to Deion Branch. And Brady should have got that Super Bowl MVP. He should have 6. They gave it to Deion Branch because he set the record for the most catches, which has been shattered since. Okay. But he was fantastic in that ball game. So I don't want to hear it. I really don't want to hear it. It has to take a break for now. Is Mahomes an all-time great? Yes. Is he a Hall of Famer? Yes. Is he one of the 5 best quarterbacks of all time? Yes. But no more for a while. Can we take a break? I'm begging you. Can we take a break for a little bit? And I'm not the only one. I turned on First Take this morning. I thought, they're going to try every way imaginable not to throw this on Mahomes. It's going to be everyone else's fault. It's going to be the offensive line's fault. It's going to be the defense's fault for not stopping Jalen Hurts. It can't be Mahomes' fault. Well, I'll credit Stephen A. Smith, though. I will credit him this morning. He went out and he said the same thing I'm saying. For a little bit now, this debate's over. Just for 3 years, 4 years, unless this guy runs the table, this debate's over for a little while. Here's Stephen A. Smith earlier on First Take, basically saying what the hell I'm saying, that this debate between Brady and Mahomes, no more for a bit.
Jalen Hurts deserves all the credit in the world. I said Friday the Philadelphia Eagles were going to win and Jalen Hurts was going to be the MVP. So, Prophet Stephen A. works with that. We're going to go with that. But in all seriousness, he deserves it. He deserved to be the MVP of the Super Bowl. Props and congrats to him. But I still sit here shell-shocked by what we witnessed. The Chiefs didn't lose. They got their ass kicked. They got stomped. They got it handed to them. And to see Patrick Mahomes sitting on the bench, just draped in humility. It was like, damn. You saw Travis Kelce's like, damn. Ain't nothing we could do. And as bad as it was, and as bad as it looked, The offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs got destroyed. Now, Philadelphia Eagles were up 24-0 at the half. We can't forget the fact that Patrick Mahomes threw a pick six. We can't forget the fact that he threw another interception at their own 14-yard line. So you basically gave the Philadelphia Eagles 14 points.
Correct.
Okay? Yeah. But it was because he was tap dancing in the pocket like Gregory, the late great Gregory Hines, got rested. So, I mean, that brother was tap dancing after the first possession. You just saw this look like, what the hell is going on here? I mean, I'm just looking at this right now. And then we look at the score, right? One first down in the first half. One.
Yeah.
23 total net yards.
Yeah.
Okay. The two interceptions that I pointed out. Time of possession doubled up by Philly, 20-10. You just saw the level of dominance from Sweat and the crew. And I like, damn, they're all over. And it was like, it was almost one of them situations. Y'all get back. Y'all, the four of us, we got this.
Yeah.
And they were all over him. And so you just look at it from that standpoint. And we'll get into the situation. We'll get into the conversation later. GOAT conversation over for now. GOAT conversation over, man. Yeah. We ain't gonna have that GOAT conversation. I mean, we don't have it today because we got to put the nail in the coffin. GOAT conversation is over right now, okay? Tom Brady was in the building, all right? And he left
He's
the building with the same status. He left. Yeah. If it was possible, Tom Brady, the seven-time champion, left with his status elevated as opposed to
100%.
Tom, good luck for the Eagles.
There you go.
100%.
So, yeah, I agree. Well, what can I say? You basically said the same thing I was saying. Well, it's over for now. I don't want to hear it. I don't. I generally don't want to hear it now. And when I'm watching the game, to say I was rooting for Philadelphia would be an understatement. I was the biggest Eagles fan you could find for a day yesterday. And when it was happening, I couldn't believe it. It's like, are they actually going to destroy this team? And then on the first drive, A.J. Brown gets the big play, and I saw the flag. I'm like, I've seen this thing too many times. The refs already have their mitts all over it, but they, even if they're in for the take, they cannot stop. As powerful as officials are, they cannot stop what that was yesterday. Crazy. I'm just happy. Patriots fans, trust me, listen to Boston Sports this morning. They're just as happy as Philadelphia fans because now America is, order's been restored in America and in Canada and wherever football fans live. This GOAT debate's over for a bit and I'm ecstatic. It's one thing to lose. It's a whole nother thing to lose like that. I was praying they wouldn't score. I wanted the shutout or 6 points max. They hit the touchdowns late. Okay. But I am so happy today. So happy today. The debate's over for a bit. We're going to do a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about who I like for the postseason next year in the National Football League and preview a bit of the Four Nations, which starts this week. Is Canada, the U.S., Finland, Sweden, all teams loaded. And big news coming out, Sidney Crosby will, in fact, play this week for Team Canada. He suffered the injury in Pittsburgh last week. Didn't know he was going to play. A big loss for the Americans. Quinn Hughes is out for the tournament. And they call up Jake Sanderson from the Ottawa Senators. He will fill his spot. He's having a very good year. But that's a big blow to the Americans, their number one defenseman not being there. Was scared for Crosby. Want him to play with McDavid. Want him to play with McKinnon. He will, in fact, suit up and play for Canada this week. So we will get into all that after the break here on the Tommy John Show on CJLO 1690 AM. Do not go away.
Mark your calendars for an exciting new event from Crossover Comics. Award-winning comic book author Ryan North will be launching his new book, Marvel Comics, One World Under Doom, Number One. You may know Ryan North from many of his other works, including The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, Danger, and Other Unknown Risks, and the Adventure Time and Star Trek Lower Decks comics, not to mention the legendary Dinosaur comics. The event will take place on February 12th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Crossover Comics, located at 3560 Rue Notre Dame West in Saint-Henri. Fans will also have the opportunity to meet the author, get their comics and books signed, and have a chat with him about his work. For more information, visit us in store or contact us at 514-284-7373.
Tune in to Fukubukuro on Saturdays at 8 p.m. for your weekly grab bag of music from Japan, East Asia, and everywhere else. Only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Back here on the Tommy John Show, we have to shout out Canadian Denis Shapovalov. He won an ATP 500 tournament yesterday down in Dallas. Biggest win of his career. Congrats to him. He beat three top 10 players. Beat Taylor Fritz, who's a top 5 player in the world. Beat Tommy Paul, who I think is ranked 9th. And then beat two-time major finalist Casper Ruud in the final in straight sets. He's extremely talented. If he plays like he played this week, he could have a very, very good year. We're talking major semifinals, maybe an ATP 1000. If he plays like that, he was sensational this week. And he wasn't just beating them. He was winning in straight sets, too. The Fritz one, he was awful in the first set. But the two sets after that, his play elevated, and it did not stop for the rest of the week. So credit Denis Shapovalov, the Canadian. Felix won a few weeks ago, too. So Canadian tennis, it got off to a rough start at the Aussie Open, but it looks like things are turning up for us here in the tennis world in Canada. And Thomas Dietrich won in Arizona. So three Europeans win the three big tournaments to start the year. You had Sepp Straka at Torrey Pines, Rory obviously 2 weeks ago at Pebble, and you have Dietrich down in Arizona at the Waste Management. He was sensational. 24 under, won by 7 shots. And we have the Genesis Open this week. And Tiger not playing. Obviously, his mother passed away last week, so he's not playing this week, was scheduled to. But still a very good field. You have Rory. I believe Xander Schauffele's going to try and make a comeback as well. It's a pretty deep field. But we're getting into the good time in golf, the good times. You're going to have the Florida Swing. You're going to have the Arnold Palmer. You're going to have the Players. And then, what, in 2 months' time, we're down at Augusta National for the Masters, and the best golf tournament of the year, let's be honest. Cannot wait for that. You know, the weather will change. It'll be warmer. It's a pretty warm day today, but it will be much warmer. Snow melting. Birds chirping. And Jim Nantz's voice on the TV showing pictures of Augusta National. I cannot wait for that. But we still got a ton of big golf tournaments before that. So interesting to see what happens there. So we have the Four Nations this week, and let's be honest, we would all, let's say what everyone's thinking. We'd love if Russia would be here. Ideally, Russia's here, and you get the five big countries. I would throw the Czechs in. They won the World Championships last year. They have phenomenal players all over the place. They have Pasternak. They have Martinikis. They have phenomenal hockey players, all littered all over the NHL. So I think they should be here as well. But here we are. We're with the Four Nations. Is it what we want? Ideally, no. We want the Olympics. We're going to get it. Let's be patient. It's next year. This is a good tune-up, though. It's a good tune-up. It's a good break for the NHL. They needed a bit of time before the postseason, but we're going to get very good hockey. Very good hockey. And McDavid, Crosby, MacKinnon, Makar, we haven't seen them on the ice together ever. This is going to be awesome. All of them on the ice at the same time. Oh, it's going to be fantastic to watch. I'm a homer. I'm going to pick Canada all day. The U.S. team, though, looks very good. And our one weakness is definitely nets. In the net. The goaltending. Montembeau's been a bit shaky. Binnington as well. I bet they would have loved to take Logan Thompson. He has been fantastic for the Capitals. But I think you'd much rather make an Olympic team than a Four Nations team. But it's going to be interesting. Crosby playing is huge because that's just a huge, 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 not just on loss, on not just on the ice, but in the locker room. Who's done more at the international level than Sidney Crosby for Team Canada? No one. Absolutely no one. He's won World Juniors. He's won 2 gold medals. He's won a World Championship. 3 Stanley Cups. He's just a winner. Sidney Crosby's a winner. And as talented as McDavid is, and I know MacKinnon and Makar have a cup, they just don't have that experience. They don't. So Crosby's is obviously on this team. He's going to be the captain next year at the Olympics. Hate to break it to you. They're not going to leave Sidney Crosby off that team. And the way I'm talking, I'm sounding like Sidney Crosby's not a good player. Sidney Crosby, still a point-per-game player. Still an 85 to 95 point guy in the league. He still has that when he's healthy. He's missed some time here. But last year, he was fantastic. And this year, he's been darn good. Just the Penguins stink. So I'm so excited to watch the Four Nations. Starts this week. And we'll see what happens. In Montreal, in Boston for the finals. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. It will still be going on next week as well, so we'll talk more Four Nations next week. It's going to be tough, though, on the show. We've been so football-heavy the last 2 months. The push for the postseason. Last weekend, we had the preview of the Super Bowl. Thank God we had that Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis news, because it gave us some basketball to talk about. Doesn't that suck for the Mavericks? Already, Anthony Davis injured out a month. That's the problem. It could knock Luka's fitness and conditioning. Anthony Davis is, as great as he is never healthy. And he's 31. He's never healthy. Pulled something, now he's out a month. You just hate to see it. Sucks for AD. He played awesome in that game. Was dominant for the Mavericks, and he injured himself. That just happens. So, we are already 1 year out from next year's Super Bowl. And what we have to do is, here on this show, is talk about now the Eagles are the champs. Who are the teams next year that can dethrone Philadelphia? I know there's still free agency, still the draft, and injuries are going to play a factor. Look at Detroit this year. If the Lions were healthy, that Eagles-Lions game would have been unbelievable because it's two dominant offensive lines. Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery at running back is pretty much equal to Saquon, the production they were getting. Great, great, great fronts if Aiden Hutchinson was healthy and if McNeil was healthy. They lost those two guys and their pass rush was not the same in Detroit. So we're just going to quickly look at the teams that could possibly beat Philadelphia for next year. So here we go. I am surprised, actually. Kansas City only the second favorites. The obvious answer is the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. Those are the two obvious answers to get to a Super Bowl and contend with Philadelphia. The NFC, it's going to be tough. Philadelphia is that good. Detroit's that good. It's going to be tough for a team outside. Maybe it's Washington. They invest with all the money they have around Jaden Daniels. But in the NFC, it's a two-horse race for me. And I would put a team ahead of Washington, too. That's the LA Rams. I assume Stafford's going to be back. Their defense with Verse and Fisk, that's going to be another year for them. They're just going to get better and better and better. And they played the Eagles harder than anyone on the road in a winter wonderland. If that is good conditions, the Rams might win that damn game. So I like the Rams in the NFC as a team to compete with Detroit, a healthy Detroit and Philadelphia. So that's why I'm looking at the AFC, because I feel like Kansas City can be knocked off far easier, way easier than Philadelphia and Detroit can be knocked off when they're healthy. So you look at Buffalo and you look at Baltimore. The problem with Buffalo is their defense in the regular season is okay. It's good enough to win football games, but when they play the elite quarterbacks, they cannot get off the field. Let's be honest. Lamar Jackson, the second half, there was no business for him to go down the field that easily. And then 2 weeks ago against Kansas City, they couldn't get a stop, really. It was the fumble by Mahomes, and that was pretty much it. When they needed stops, they weren't getting it. So whether it's a Myles Garrett, whether it's a Micah Parsons, the Bills should make a call to go and get a great pass rusher. What's the point? What's another pick going to do? You're picking in the late 20s. You have the MVP of the league, who has shown he can work with less talent on the offense. You give him an offensive line, he'll work. He'll work with Shakir. He'll work with rookie Keon Coleman, Dawson Knox. He doesn't need Jamar Chase. I would just say, hey, Cleveland, here's two ones and a four. I want Myles Garrett. Lock up Myles Garrett. Why not? I really think Buffalo, they have a window now. I know we've been saying that for a long time, but trust me, Buffalo's a team that you got to worry about. Baltimore's a team you got to worry about. And I'm going to throw another team in there too, Cincinnati. This is a huge off season for Cincinnati. And if they get it right, they're right there. They are. I think T. Higgins, listen, you got to let him go. I'm sorry. I'm not paying two running backs because I have to extend Jamar Chase. You look at Miami. They gave Jalen Waddle all the money. They gave Tua all the money. They gave Tyreek Hill all the money. And their team is weak everywhere else. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm fine paying Joe Burrow. I'm ecstatic to pay Jamar Chase. T. Higgins, listen, as great as a player as he is, you have to cut bait. I'm sorry. Trey Hendrickson's far more important to this football team. He led the league in sacks. You need help on the defense. Sign Hendrickson. Now that's done. You have to go out and get some help in the defense. You cannot have Joe Burrow's prime wasted by such an appalling defense. You can't do it. You've made tough decisions in the past for dumb reasons, Cincinnati. Letting Jesse Bates go for no reason. I don't understand that. You didn't even match Atlanta's offer. There's just no experience in the secondary. They can't get pressure on the quarterback outside of Hendrickson. They need to address that defense. So if they do that, I think they're right in the mix. They almost beat Baltimore twice last year. They should have beat Kansas City if it wasn't for the pass interference. They are a good team already. But let's be honest, just you get rid of a number two wide receiver, which is going to take some money off your books, have Burrow redo his contract a bit, and you can go spend and get some good defensive players. I think Cincinnati, they have a golden opportunity now. Just cut bait. You can get a good receiver in the second, third round. You can do that. But you have the best wide receiver in the sport. Call the Rams, maybe Cooper Kupp. There's other ways to get decent number two wide receivers out there. You're not going to give Burrow, keep him at 55. Chase is going to want 40, and T. Higgins is going to want $30 million. It's just not going to work that way. But if they do it right, invest in the defense, I think Cincinnati can be right there. My other team in the AFC that I think will make a massive jump, a massive leap, is the Houston Texans. I really believe that. And the reason I'm saying Houston, listen, their offensive line has been appalling. And they have money. They have Stroud on the rookie deal. They have Will Anderson on the rookie deal. They have some money to burn. Let's go. You don't need to bring Diggs back. I'm sorry. Nico Collins is a proven one. Just invest in that offensive line. You know D'Amico Ryans will have the defense going. And I think the most important factor that people are forgetting, they are playing in the worst division in the NFL. You get the Colts twice, you get the Titans, who are the worst team in the league this year, twice, and you get the Jaguars twice. Now, I think the Jags will be better. I like Liam Cohen. I think he'll do good things with Trevor Lawrence, but they're not going to make that big of a jump next year. To me, Houston's already a playoff team, so invest in an offensive line, give Stroud time, give Mixon some running lanes. He's a big game runner. I like Houston. And also, the AFC West will be much better next year. I think Denver will be good again, and the Chargers, listen, their defense was stout. Their offensive line mauls people. Good run game. They just need to get some talent on the perimeter. They'll probably go after T. Higgins, Tyreek Hill in a trade. There's options. So the teams I like in the AFC, besides Kansas City, that can knock off Philadelphia, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati with an asterisk to do things right, Houston. I really think Houston will be very good next year. Stroud had the sophomore slump. He's gonna get better. They got a new offensive coordinator in there. Just invest in that offensive line, and I really believe Houston can be right there. They're going to make the playoffs. Health permitted, they have Hunter and Will Anderson on the edge. Derek Stingley still on the rookie deal. You have to take advantage of your Houston. I think they're going to be aggressive. They saw what Philadelphia did to Kansas City. You're not blown away by Baltimore in the postseason. If I'm Houston, I'm licking my chops. I really think they're excited. The Texans are ready to roll. Thank you guys for listening. We're back next Monday on CGLO. See you guys next week.